To take this station with you wherever you go, download the Radio.com app today and listen to this station and over 300 other stations. With the Radio.com app, you can favorite your top stations for easy access and receive alerts with breaking news, contest opportunities, and more. To favorite a station, just click on the heart icon in the upper left-hand corner of your favorite station's logo. Go to your app store or radio.com/download and start listening today. Radio.com.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to the Lawrence Holmes Show, nights 6 to 10.
Patrick Manley joining me here on The Score.
All right, I'll run you through the entire play. I'll start from snap all the way through the kick. The snap came back, and if you look at laces being at 12 o'clock, the laces were 6 o'clock, so they were backwards. They were almost completely backwards. Pat O'Donnell did a great job of spinning the ball and having it sitting there forward, and before he got to the kick, the ball was, you know, set down right with the right angle, and then you can just tell that Cody does not look comfortable. And all his steps all the way to the ball, to his follow through, he doesn't look comfortable. He looks like he peaks a little quick. He looks like he gets a little quick in his swing and pulls it a little left. 43-yard kick needs to be a little higher, and that's the kicker's job to do that, just knowing that the rush will come, and especially on a 43-yard game winner where they're coming with a little extra juice.
Lawrence Holmes, nights 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Bulls head coach Jim Boylan.
Jim, we get a lot of callers and texters that say that frustration that you sometimes show, that intensity that you always show, that your coaching style might not be in harmony with the modern NBA player. How do you handle that sort of criticism?
I'm going to be who I am, and I go back to the competitive part. I think I'm trying to get our guys to understand the competitive piece. You know, we got bulls across our chest, and I want them to be more intense, you know, more committed, more physical, more communicative, and take more ownership. So what I have had is guys take ownership of their play. When they played poorly and they've let the team down, they've admitted it, and they're trying to get better and move on. And I think that's what a good NBA player does.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
You may vary. Limited time offer.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
This is our plan. This is part of the deal. You know, we came out the gate trying to really get off to a good start and win a lot of games and see if we can make some noise. That didn't work out, you know, and so now we're in the second phase of it, and we got to get these guys a lot of experience and understanding and let them get their butts kicked some more and let them grow from it. And, you know, we're still stuck to our plan strategically that, you know, if it makes sense, then that's what we're going to make those moves. But if it doesn't, we're going to go keep forging ahead with growing our guys and developing it the right way.
Middays on The Score.
Take that for data. That's David Fizdale, coach of the New York Knicks. You said you had something funny.
You like
funny.
David Fizdale,
I do.
Right?
I really do.
I think most like David Fizdale. I think some thought he got hosed in his prior job. I think most were happy to see him land with the Knicks.
Yeah,
I think
Mark Gasol fired him.
Yeah, pretty much. I think he's got a pretty good reputation amongst players. The Knicks, you'll remember, are one of the prime competitors with the Bulls for a bottom three finish in the NBA, and thus a 14% chance at landing the number one pick in the draft, which I still think will be Zion Williamson, assuming his knee is just fine. And even if it weren't, even if he had something more serious than Coach K let his knee injury on to be, he still goes number one for you, doesn't he?
Yes.
I mean, even if he's coming back off of something, I think that guy's still there. Well, David Fizdale has now spun the Knicks' issues and found a scapegoat. David Fizdale has found his Trotsky. He's blaming it on Fortnite. You can add... That's right.
I'm listening.
You can add David Fizdale to the list of old grizzled sons of guns who don't like Fortnite.
If I have to hear the phrase, can I do it after this game? I will, after this game. After this game. Okay, after this game. Oh, I forgot. After this game.
It's been a common refrain from Fizdale this season, who's blamed the game twice in as many months for his team's issues. Now his biggest source of trouble, an observation that's being contested, rather, in the Knicks locker room. Fortnite, that's my competitor right now, Fizdale said in December. Fortnite is tougher than the Boston Celtics. Numerous studies support the idea that blue light interferes with sleep and the body's regular metabolic functions from SB Nation, but it's unclear if it would be enough to do something like, say, cause the Knicks to lose 47 of their 58 this season. I kind of limit my time now after I read that, said Kevin Knox. My energy level is better than it usually was. You can control yourself. There's no problem for you, but if you're reckless with it, you don't think about it, video games, partying, going out, all that other stuff, you end up being in trouble. Fizdale goes on to say, it might be the old man yells at a cloud moment. I'm going to have to get it on, Fizdale said. I'm probably just going to have to be able to connect to them, just be able to do it. I'll get Mitchell to teach me. He can yell at me on that. This will be his time to yell. He can be the coach. Slowly but surely, Fortnite is eroding the wherewithal of one David Fizdale as the Knicks spiral more and more into the depths of nowhere and probably get the number one pick of the NBA draft thanks to Fortnite.
Contaminating our precious bodily fluids, Fortnite. Nah. It is an issue as far as sleep goes. I don't know about the whole blue light thing, but if people are losing sleep, that's legitimate. Because we know that sleep matters.
Well,
that
of course.
Sleep and travel, if it is affecting that, that's legit. Whether it's Mario Kart or Fortnite, there's nothing specific to Fortnite, the game itself. But if, in fact, there is an addiction to whatever video game this is that is causing guys, or you could argue, where would you rather have them? In the club or in the hotel room?
Well, probably the hotel room.
Right.
But, you know, just because they're playing a game doesn't necessarily mean there aren't club-like activities going on while they're playing.
That's true, but Fortnite
still,
is...
you'd rather have the environment controlled some while you're playing the vids.
It's valid if you think guys have sleep issues.
I think it's coach hates time that's spent not playing basketball. I mean, come on. Go back through your CBA days. Go back through all these... Every coach just railed on the thing guys were doing instead of playing, whether it was video games or before that, whatever they were into, that was the thing. That was the thing that stopped them from being a team and coming together and being tough and doing it like they're supposed to.
All the texters are saying Fortnite is old and busted. It's all about Apex Legends now. Yeah, I was reading about it the other day.
Thing.
Yeah, Twitch Apex Legends is vastly now outstreaming them, and they've already, the esports teams are hiring Apex Legends players. Ninja himself is now paid to play Apex Legends.
To switch over to,
yep,
Apex Legends.
Somebody just had some record number of Apex Legends kills. That's a game I have not seen.
I haven't either. I know it's 3v3 instead of like the Royal Rumble stuff that Fortnite does. So it's more in a more teamwork, mm-hmm, kind of aspect.
Only is it more teamwork, that you choose your character as certain attributes. It's not everybody is the same. You collect whatever stuff you can collect.
More of like an upgradable RPG type platform.
No, your character innately has a job to do because of what you can do.
Oh, class.
Yeah, you get a different kind of superpower. Right.
It's like a mage or a druid or a priest or whatever.
Right. Ranger or whatever that is. Yeah. It's got some sort of class. I don't know if there's alignment aspect as well, but it's sounds a little more D&D like in that regard.
Yeah, a little bit. Probably with all the explosions and blinking lights and blue light all over the place, so you're not sleeping at all.
That's really funny, though.
I thought it was good.
But, you know, it's legit. If you get players who are not properly rested, that's the thing. We know it's
also, if you have players that suck, you're going to win 10 games in an NBA season. That's the other part.
The being bad?
Yeah, the being really bad at basketball, that tends to affect the opportunity to win games.
In Woodstock, Derek, you are on the score.
Hey, guys. Just want to get back to the White Sox. Abreu was given the largest contract ever in the history of the organization.
Yes.
And doing a little digging, 24 major league teams currently have somebody on their roster with a larger contract.
True.
17 of them have multiple players with larger contracts. So when are they going to stop being cheap?
I don't know. I don't know when that next contract comes around. And Rick Hahn expressed some he was frustrated by that aspect and by the line of questioning that exists here. Because as he put it to Lawrence, until we do it, until we convert on one of these contracts, I can't tell you that, you know, I can't prove to you that we're doing this. I mean, that's part of the frustration here. You can search out the player, the generational type guy, the 26-year-old shortstop, third baseman that you can grow with and commit 10 years to without really any kind of any worry outside of just the weirdness of baseball or injury. But until you've got him, until he's there, he's not. Until the contract exists and is signed and is part of your roster, you can't show it as evidence that you're willing to get into the marketplace that other teams are.
It has to be reasonable. The guy has to be there that you feel is worth that money.
Right,
I mean, when you just say stop being cheap, you've got to point to the guys on whom you wanted them to spend, why, where, and what the plan was.
Well, and that's this is the other part of this. Rick also pointed out the couple of things that they've done to prove old narratives wrong, and he's right in pointing out that they blew the international spending restrictions away when they got Luis Robert, and they made a trade with the Chicago Cubs of all teams to try and enrich their prospect depth while doing something, while giving them a player that mattered, Jose Quintana. They've put together a front office, or rather a scouting department that has kept up with all of the technological aspects in baseball. They're one of the 28 teams with a Rapsodo and an Edgertronic, all that kind of analytics, all that kind of depth. They're doing all of this stuff, and it seems like what you need as a fan base, what I would like to see too, as an observer of the team and a guy who was over there watching a lot of White Sox baseball for a little while, is that guy, that tentpole contract, that player that's a five-win type guy.
There he was.
And you had the chance to do it, and it's why it makes the Machado thing as disappointing as it was. But I don't need to see the White Sox go out and spend on Dallas Keuchel. I don't need to see them go out and spend on Josh Harrison, who did just get a deal for a couple of dollars, or Marwin Gonzalez. Those guys are all 30, 31, and 32. Those contracts, those players, don't help now. Manny Machado at 26 could eat up 2 years of losing baseball and still be great. That's what made this such an outlier, what made it so outstanding to pursue the player.
And to come up short in the way that they did gave them, and look, I thought Rick Hahn was very honest about what it would have meant in that he looked at it as trying to knock down another one of what he says is a myth, knock down another one of those narratives. The White Sox can never do this. They'll never do this. They'll never do this. And to say they would never be a destination for an absolute top of market free agent, that this was an opportunity to do that. That's an admission that they looked at this as more than a chance to get a player. It was bigger than that. It was about some kind of legitimacy. He phrases it getting rid of some sort of false narrative.
Mm-hmm.
But that's part of legitimizing the team. That's part of stepping to the fore as a big boy MLB franchise.
Jim Margulis of Sox Machine wrote this out, I think it was yesterday.
Yeah, he was on the Mully and Haw show this morning.
Was he really? I missed him on the way in. Shoot. Jim's fantastic. He's a real good observer of the White Sox. He pointed out the Jason Worth contract that the Nationals signed.
$126 million?
Sounds right. Something north of 110, that's for sure. But at the time, the Nationals weren't quite ready. They were a joke of a franchise. I mean, they didn't have anything together. They put a couple of drafts in. They waited and tanked for Strasburg and Harper. They got Jason Worth when they did, and that was the contract that they were able to grow around. And that guy mattered for them. I mean, granted, the Nationals couldn't win a playoff series to save their lives, but he mattered for that team in terms of legitimacy.
Is it just me, or is this spring training so far? And I know we've got plenty of spring training left to go, but usually there's all sorts of like cute little spring training stories. This has been kind of heavy. There's been so many big things. And maybe it's just because of the Cubs, everything's been heavy. Everything's been Joe Ricketts' racist, Islamophobic emails and Addison Russell and domestic violence. And it's just the weight of it. I'm used to this time of year being Yoenis Cespedes has a wacky car, or this guy has a pet mink.
you know, there's usually something, there's always something really, really different and fun and light about this. And this spring training is just not.
There's a couple of those that I can get for you. I mean, we've got some light, fun kickers, but you're right. Islamophobic emails don't come with a fun kicker at the end.
Ah, spring.
And oh, right? By the way.
Yeah, the crack of the bat, the pop of the mitt, and racist Islamophobic emails.
As the boys go back to Tempe, here's something for you.
Hope springs eternal.
But remember, it's also underlying those storylines is labor unrest.
Yeah.
It's not as though Manny Machado signing his 10-year and $300 million deal with a 5-year opt-out means that the rest of the marketplace is all set and ready to roll. I don't know how long Bryce Harper will hold out for the money he's going to get, because I think that's the one thing we learned about this marketplace when Machado signed is players holding out is the leverage left in a free agent market like this. And for the elite of the elite, the very best of the best, that's what you've got to do, that you've got to be willing to do to get that dollar.
Chuck and Lake in the Hills, you're on the Bernstein and McKnight Show on the Score.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Connor. How you doing?
What's up, Chuck?
All right. So, anyway, the reason why I called was that, you know, the Rick Hahn's a liar. It's really what it boils down to. He might say he's going to spend, but the bottom line is if they weren't willing to offer Machado $300 million, they were never serious to begin with.
Well, what's the lie?
The lie is that they were willing to spend the money when they weren't.
They were willing to spend the money they offered.
Yeah, but they weren't willing to actually spend what it took to get it done. And that's really what it boiled down.
He was asked that question directly by Lawrence. They never had a chance to respond to if this is X, we'll go X plus one. I mean, Lawrence asked him directly, so they didn't have that opportunity. It was just make the offer that you're willing to extend, and then he was going to pick one.
Yeah, excuses.
It's not an excuse. I'm saying that's the way the process went down.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can take him for face value, but I mean, I think that if we all sat here in November when this whole thing started, nobody thought that Machado was going to take a dollar less than $300 million. So
that's not true. There were a lot of people that did think it might go under 300, and that a marketplace that has otherwise been frozen might force him down from the money. But the smart bet, Chuck, was that $300 million was going to be the amount he was able to get for himself.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is if they're not willing to go there for Machado, who is a prime free agent on a Hall of Fame track at 26 years old, who are they going to spend the money for? If they're not willing to go there for them, then who?
They're going to sign the guy.
Exist?
Yeah, they're going to sign the guy that will take the contract they offered. I mean, it feels like that structure, that 250 plus incentives with a couple of different complications here or there, because that's, I got to imagine that's how a player looks at it, you know, with the vesting options or complications. That's the guy they're going to end up getting. I don't know who that player is, but there's no doubt in my mind they're willing to spend that kind of money that way. Just got to match up the player.
Wacky moment in college basketball last night on perhaps the biggest stage of their game outside of the postseason. Duke, North Carolina at Cameron, and Zion Williamson blows out a shoe. It has made us talk about a lot of bigger things than just that, and we'll continue to do so. Eamon Brennan of The Athletic joins us next on The Score.
For all station contest rules, go to 670thescore.com/rules.
This is John Feinstein with the CBS Sports Minute. The irony is inescapable. This week's PGA Tour World Golf Championship starts today in Mexico because of the man trying to build a wall between the United States and Mexico. Up until 3 years ago, this event was played at Doral Country Club in Miami, which Donald Trump bought in 2012. For 55 years, dating to 1962, Doral hosted a PGA Tour event. But when Trump began campaigning for his wall at the same time that the tour was seeking a new title sponsor, corporations shied away. As a result, 3 years ago, the tour moved the event from Doral to a resort in Mexico. It was, according to Commissioner Tim Finchem, a business decision, not a political one. That's undoubtedly true. But Trump's wall demands and his comments about those coming from Mexico to the U.S. forced the tour's business decision. The golf tournament starts today. The controversy continues to rage, and the tradition of an annual tournament on Doral's Blue Monster has become collateral damage. I'm John Feinstein.
Want to get fit while helping kids who have cancer? Join Team One Step. We support Camp One Step by Children's Oncology Services and are now forming teams for four different events. Our new month-long Step Challenge, the Walker-Friendly Chicago Half Marathon, or 5K, and the sold-out Bank of America Chicago Marathon. Team One Step will give you the motivation and tools to get fit and help change the life of a child with cancer by sending them to camp. Join Team One Step and become a hero to a kid with cancer. Sign up now or learn more at teamonestep.org or call 312-924-4220 to learn more. Thanks for streaming The Score. The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
John Paxson with us. I was a little surprised how frank you were in the press conference and then again right there saying, you know, we're not there now. You did have the ability to offer a max slot. This is probably the best summer in terms of free agents that'll be moving since 2010. Why aren't you there right now in terms of the ability to attract a marquee maximum free agent?
Well, because our young players aren't to the point where I think the great player wants to come and play. Our goal, and I've said this many times, our goal is to develop. We believe Markkanen has a high ceiling. We believe Wendell Carter has a high ceiling. We believe a draft pick that we get in this draft is going to be a player with a high ceiling. We're in a different position than some of these other teams.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670. Bernstein and McKnight. Middays, 9 a.m. to 1.
Ian Happ of the Chicago Cubs. There's yet another new voice in the cage. I don't know how well you know Anthony and how this relationship is going to work, but what are you looking forward to with having another guy, another new set of eyes on your swing?
I'm really excited. I got a chance to work with Post. When I got drafted in 15, he was the minor league hitting coordinator. So I got a chance to work with him for about 6 months before he left to go to Texas. And actually, our assistant, Jermell Sledge, he was my first professional hitting coach in short season A in Eugene, Oregon. So I have a relationship with both those guys. They're both awesome, super positive, super upbeat. So I couldn't be more excited for that direction.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays, 9 a.m. to 1. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Hey, thanks for listening to The Score on your mobile device, your laptop, your desktop, whatever you stream us on. We've got Chicago sports fans covered. The Score is Chicago's first and number one sports talk station. We're live from Chicago and dedicated to the Chicago sports fan. It's what's driven us for over 25 years now. But we couldn't have done it without you, the loyal Score listener. Thanks for listening to Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670. Bernstein and McKnight. Middays, 9 a.m. to 1.
Ian Happ of the Chicago Cubs.
Theo said, Ian, that the offense broke somewhere along the lines, and in the second half specifically. Did you guys have a feeling while it was going on that it was broken, you were trying to rescue it or trying to fix it, or is that something that you just see afterward?
I think one of the things that people overlook is how good we were in the first half.
Yeah.
We were one of the best offenses, if not the best offense in baseball in the first half, and we were producing at a pretty incredible clip. So I think it was kind of a slow digression from there. And then I kind of look back at the end of the year after putting our heads down, getting underwater and trying to finish that thing off. You turn around and you say, oh God, something went terribly wrong.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays, 9 a.m. to 1. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to the Lawrence Holmes Show, nights 6 to 10.
Patrick Manley joining me here on The Score. How does Cody Parkey come back to this team? And I'm not even talking about his teammates.
It's hard, man, because he's going to walk into Soldier Field, or he's not going to walk onto the practice field in Bourbon A and get booed. And that's a hard thing to deal with.
Lawrence Holmes, nights 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station. Streaming The Score. The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
John Paxson with us. John, are you comfortable with the teams and the organization's reputation among star players in this league?
You know, until you get an opportunity to get in front of people, then how do you know how they feel about you? And if you have, you know, if there's specific examples out there of a player, someone bashing our organization, that's tell me about it. But I do believe that when you get an opportunity to sit down with people, present yourself, and show what you're about and who you are, there's a lot of things that are created just through perception, and we get that. I mean, you can't fight that in this day and age anymore. We can be criticized, any organization can be criticized for the most minuscule thing, and it can be made into something, you know, that takes on a life of its own, and all of a sudden you're looked at it in a certain way. No, I'm not worried about that.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
HackyWebFord.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Slipping and injured is Zion Williamson. Back the other way, a layup for Cam Johnson. And 36 seconds into the game, Zion Williamson is down.
He blew through his shoe.
Yeah.
Look at his, wow. Look at his left shoe. He blew completely through the shoe.
So we were debating if and when Zion Williamson comes out, does he take the bait? I'm sure all the other shoe companies are calling him and calling family members right now and saying, yeah, you can't go with Nike. You can't go with Nike. Or does he go with Nike and really lean in and come out with, like, the Blowout Z is the name of the shoe? You see him at the factory. You see him, like, or wearing a hard hat or wearing, like, a lab coat and pointing at exactly the specifications he wants. Who knows? We could play those games all day. Eamon Brennan of The Athletic is on Twitter, at Eamon Brennan. He joins us now on Sports Radio 670 The Score. That was unexpected last night, but it has us talking about all sorts of big-picture things, Eamon.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the oddest, strangest things I've ever seen on a basketball court, and I'm not, you know, I'm not the most wizened old head. I'm sure there's plenty of, like, for example, Coach K said he's seen shoes break plenty of times. He would be considered a wizened old head, but it was odd. And when it came in the game, in addition to all the sort of lasting ramifications moving forward here, but sort of when it came in the game, totally changed the tenor of the night, obviously changed the way that Duke performed. And I think will sort of be remembered as a really weird outlier in a rivalry that kind of kicks stuff up like that from time to time.
Yeah, Eamon, I mean, there was really no chance for Duke to get themselves back together after Zion went down. You could tell how it affected those players, but Reddish and Barrett had good nights. Do you figure K has enough of everything to get Duke back on track and wait for Zion to return?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think the ability to do that, you know, in-game for any team would be really hard, and Reddish said it after the game last night, like, you know, not only is Zion Williamson really good at basketball, but he's their energy. Like, he is the guy who is constantly bouncing around, constantly making big plays, who they know they can get a bucket from every time down the floor. You know, when they were shooting, what, 2 for 20 in the first half from three last night, they wouldn't have needed to nearly as frequently because Zion just can score against anybody at any time. And makes everything really, really easy for everybody else. So you take that away and you take sort of his energy and the excitement of the crowd away and the hush over the crowd and what is normally a raucous environment, obviously. It changes things. But, you know, with a couple of days, Duke is not a team short on talent. And what's remarkable about their talent level is that, you know, RJ Barrett is the guy coming in this year who was the most accomplished prep, who was the number one player in the class by most accounts coming out. And who a lot of people picked to be the player of the year before Zion really exploded into what he's been. So, you know, he has maybe even another level he can get to in an already really good freshman season. And they have guys like Javon Delorier and Marcus Bolden who can take bigger roles. Trey Jones being back from injury now for a couple of weeks has been huge, and that will continue to be the case. There's plenty of talent there, and they can figure it out. But there will be a massive, both literally and sort of productive-wise, gap in what they are moving forward compared to what they have been and what they could have been.
And yet the bigger picture we're talking about is, here is this guy playing for free. This guy's going to make hundreds of millions of dollars, and he's running around there in shoes for which Mike Krzyzewski is getting all the big checks, and he doesn't get any of the money. And it was another opportunity to point at the injustice of the free labor cartel that the NCAA is right now. And people say, like, what's it going to take? What's it going to take? Well, that something like that, without having it be some sort of catastrophic injury, that's really all it should take to have some of these players saying, wait, what are we doing here?
Yeah, totally fair. And I think that that's a discussion that I fundamentally agree with everything you just said, right? And that's my view on it. And other people can take a different view. There are the lone voices in the amateurism wilderness out there. They're fewer and fewer sort of by the year. But, you know, I think what's interesting is that I wonder if Zion Williamson necessarily sees it that way, right? By all accounts, he like really wanted to come play at Duke for a year and try and win a national title, and was cool with what that meant for the, you know, sort of the larger socioeconomic picture of college basketball. Like, so, you know, it's, I agree with you, and I think it's a major problem just that people have woken up to, and that this discussion exists in a way it didn't even, you know, think about when Kenyon Martin got hurt, how many people were talking about amateurism and college sports and what the NBA age limit should be. It's just a totally different conversation now, and that conversation is absolutely justified and should be happening. But I do sometimes wonder, particularly a guy like Zion, but there are plenty of other players too, who just, everybody feels differently about it. And some guys will feel the way you described, Dan, like, what are we doing here? Why are we risking this? I'm about to go make $10 million a year, and one slip and one busted shoe could ruin all of that for me. There are probably guys who think that, and there are, I think, probably guys who think, no, I mean, I want to be doing this. No one forced me to. So it's complicated. It's more complicated even than all of the large-scale complicated issues, the NBA age limit and the way college sports are structured, and the injustices therein. It's also complicated on an individual and personal level, too.
Talking college hoops with Eamon Brennan of The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter, at Eamon Brennan. This is Bernstein and McKnight on 670 The Score. Do you feel as though within players and their circles, collegiate players in their circles, that this conversation has been dampened some because the NBA seems ready to do away with the one-and-done rule sooner rather than later?
Maybe. I mean, again, there are, you know, everybody's different, and I think college kids especially, as we all know, have differing levels of sort of interest in just this sort of stuff. And some guys are just like, no, like, you know, I don't care. And some guys will, you know, describe their collegiate experience, whether it's 4 years or 8 months, as like extremely valuable and something they cherish. And I think there's probably a group of players out there who are not particularly thrilled with the idea of having to go play for free for a year, but, you know, also don't want to go play in the G League because it's not really been an established option yet. The sort of early adopters of the idea of, oh yeah, just go play in a different country for a few years, that sort of trend never really took off in a meaningful way. And so, you know, I think that there is probably plenty of discussions happening with that among kids. And I'm sure that, you know, the guys who actually have the most money on the line are probably aware of it, probably more so at the high school level, because those kids will be looking at it and will say, you know, by the time I am a potential NBA draft pick, will this rule be gone? And what does that mean for me? You know, are all of these college coaches calling me and the commitments I may give, are those going to be meaningless if I decide that, you know, and I'm able to go to the NBA in a couple of years? So it may be happening more at that level with prospects and their families and, you know, sort of the groups of people around them. But I'm sure it's happening, and it's going to be a fundamental change in the way college basketball looks and feels and operates, the way the original rule was, you know, in 2007, and it's going to be fascinating to see sort of the trickle-down effects from there.
A couple of years ago, the Northwestern Wildcats had this city captivated, making their first ever run to the NCAA tournament and getting a win, and then giving Gonzaga a run for their money with a disputed call for goaltending and all that. And here this was, the precipice of a new era of competitiveness. You know, there's Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and there's all the celebrity power and all that. And they suck. Like, they are terrible. Why? Why are they so bad?
Well, I would say it's a couple of things. They're just not, you know, they're not a great team this year. They're not a tournament quality team this year. Offensively, they're really bad. I mean, they're the worst offensive team in the Big Ten on a per possession basis, and it's really ugly, you know, because it probably was never going to be high flying and pretty for Northwestern anyway, but when you miss a bunch of shots and you're really inefficient in that sort of style of play, it's bad. But I think the thing this year with the Big Ten is that teams that, you know, conventionally in most years would seem okay and their records would seem much better, look really bad. Penn State is one of those teams. You know, like, you know, it was kind of a joke the other night after they walloped Nebraska that Penn State might be the best 3-12, you know, sort of Big Ten team of all time. And the thing is, it's not crazy because Penn State is like, if you look at adjusted efficiency ranks and sort of, you know, advanced metrics ranks and just wipe their record out of there and just look at sort of how they play per possession, they're, you know, in the 60s, 70s in the country, which usually is right around in the middle of the Big Ten. And last year, for example, when the Big Ten was down, that, you know, a team like Nebraska would have loved to have had a few more of those teams last year that were semi-quality wins that they could go get when they were really trying to get into the Big Ten and won 13 games in the league, into the NCAA tournament, rather, and won 13 games in the Big Ten and couldn't get into the tournament. So Northwestern is obviously, you know, it's really struggling on the offensive end this year, but the Big Ten, just from top to bottom, the bottom of the league is a lot better than it usually is, and the top's really good. And so every night you can lose, and we're seeing that with teams like Penn State, like Northwestern, like Indiana, like Nebraska, all of whom rate out pretty well metrically, but just, you know, keep losing game after game. I think the league is just kind of a brutal place to be this year.
Eamon, last year my Instagram feed was filled with highlights from Zion Williamson and Mac McClung. So I'm looking around for like an appetizer to Duke UNC last night, and sure enough, I settled on Nova and Georgetown, and got, there he is, Mac McClung. I remember watching his first game of the year and hadn't checked in a whole ton on Georgetown or anything. So I slapped my $5 down on Nova and summarily gave that away because they just gave up against Georgetown. How is that team put together right now, and what do you make of Mac McClung's freshman year?
Yeah, no, Georgetown's an interesting one because last year was sort of a feel-good, hey, we're not really good, but we play hard. And the fans were on board, and they had gotten so, you know, from everyone I've talked to and sort of that fan base, like they'd gotten so worn down by the latter stage of John Thompson III's tenure and sort of the same basketball over and over, and the style of play was boring, that anything would have been good. And Ewing's personality and the fact that he's running modern NBA-style sets and not the Princeton offense was just enough for everyone to be sort of pleased. And this year was kind of like the same tenor, I thought, coming into the year. It was, hey, we've got a decent recruiting class. Let's see how we go. Jesse Govan, their center, is back. And I think, once again, Ewing sort of exceeded everyone's expectations. They are, you know, not a tournament team at this point, but, you know, the players that they have, I think, Mac McClung, interestingly enough, was like a, you know, the reason why you saw so many highlights of him, he was like a minor internet celebrity for his dunks and highlights and mixtape stuff, but was also kind of, you know, he was like a three-star recruit. He wasn't a high-end recruit, but he's been better sort of floor game-wise than I think anyone has expected. He's really improved as the season's come along. The main, you know, sort of central recruit in this incoming class, point guard James Akinjo, has been really good and looks like he's going to be the kind of four-year point guard who probably isn't going to have a ton of NBA looks, but by the time he's a junior and senior, he's just going to be really, really solid at the college level. And then Govan is a guy who for 3 years was a conventional center in sort of the classic Georgetown mold. And, you know, his second year under Ewing here, after going to the draft last year, getting some feedback, coming back for his senior season, is now a guy shooting an extremely respectable mark from the three-point line at his size and, you know, previous skill level. It's kind of remarkable, and it gives them what used to be a very slow, very predictable, hand the ball off, spin around, cut, you know, make a back cut, Princeton offense stuff, has become kind of a young, interesting, flawed, but fun modern team that, you know, is, given how bad the NCAA tournament bubble is this year and given the win they just got last night, is like not super far away from maybe getting into the NCAA tournament. And I think that would be a remarkable accomplishment given where this team and even these players were earlier in the year and given what Ewing's done in his 2 years since he took the job.
Real quick, what would stop, outside of just saying Zion Williamson, what would stop this Gonzaga team from being the one that breaks through and wins a title?
Nothing. I don't think. I mean, they're really, really good. And, you know, everyone has concerns about Gonzaga every year. I think they kind of killed that when they got to the title game. But they're always, at least they have been for a very long time, sort of the whipping boy of, oh, you're just not that good. You play a bunch of small teams and then you go to the tournament and lose. And I think Virginia has kind of taken over that mantle of you have to prove it in the tournament. Gonzaga at this point is just, they're a national powerhouse, and their conference has nothing to do with that. They are a program on the level of any high major team in the country, and they're good enough. They are good enough in every facet on both sides of the ball to absolutely compete for the national title this year. There isn't one thing you could point to, I think, that would necessarily keep them from doing so.
Eamon, thanks a lot for your time, man. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
Eamon Brennan of The Athletic.
That's some good stuff to file away for conference tournament time.
The bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Don't miss Coach Collins and the Cats at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season for games against Minnesota and Ohio State. Tickets on sale now at NUSports.com.
Ooh, all kinds of tournament-y. Put those brackets together and make your bets. I watched Purdue not just beat around the bush with Indiana a little while. That got frustrating.
Indiana's bad, too.
I don't know where they're at. There's some things to figure out. But like you said, that bubble is it's kind of gross. You said you wanted some typical spring training stories.
Yeah, I just
wanted. You said that you wanted, like, sunrises
and
butterflies and all that kind of stuff. I have a few for
like
you.
Like Yolmer's boombox.
I got a few of those.
Bump box.
That's right, it's a bump box.
A few you have just like a little appetizer plate?
A smattering of feel-good spring training stories that'll make you laugh, they'll make you cry happy tears, and some are just damn funny. Also, a job that you may want to apply for and apply for ASAP.
Okay, this is exactly what I want and need.
I have this for you.
Coming up next, Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Radio.com Sports. The best experts in sports. Podcast and more from The Score and all your favorite sports stations.
Radio.com Sports. It's where you get incredible, original sports content anywhere, anytime.
Download the Radio.com
Studio41.com.
Looking to secure financing on a new home? Then you need to call Team Hochberg. Today, meet Zach and Jimmy, happily married and tired of renting. So they called Team Hochberg to secure a loan approval before meeting with a realtor. Unfortunately, Zach and Jimmy were severely credit challenged, which prohibited them from purchasing at this time. So Team Hochberg introduced them to credit enhancement expert Gary Novell, who for only $600 will enhance the couple's credit so they can purchase a condo in the near future. The best news is that Team Hochberg will issue Zach and Jimmy a $600 closing cost credit when Team Hochberg originates their loan, and that will reimburse them Gary's fee. If you'd like to work with a team of local, trusted mortgage professionals who will always look out for your financial best interest, call Team Hochberg now at 855-56-DAVID or visit 56David.com. Team Hochberg has helped thousands of Score listeners, but they can't help if you don't call. 855-56-DAVID, 855-56-DAVID, or visit 56David.com. Homeside Financial, Equal Housing Lender, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, MB-676-1019, NMLS 112-406.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670. Bernstein and McKnight. Middays, 9 a.m. to 1.
Ian Happ of the Chicago Cubs. Is there a way that you think your game can be optimized?
Yeah, my preference is just to be out there helping the team. Be out there, be in the lineup as much as I possibly can, and help the team in any way possible. That's what I've been trying to do since I came up a couple years ago, and I'm going to continue to do that. Just get me in the lineup and let me help.
How much time off do you take? Did you, like, put the bats down for a couple of weeks and just get away from everything, or are you like Bryant, where you wake up and you get in the cage and you stay in the cage all day?
It was pretty quick for me this year. I think with the early exit, kind of we had a month more off season than we knew what to do with. So I took a couple weeks right after the season just to get my body back to status quo, and then really I jumped back in the cage and jumped back to working out pretty quick.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays 9 a.m. to 1, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Bulls head coach Jim Boylan.
Is it more difficult than maybe it looked from sitting next to the guy?
It's a difficult job. You know what it is?
I think there's like a natural high from being the head coach. I think that's something that there's just a feeling of, you know, it's your team and you're in control and you're trying to do the best you can, and you get a lot of energy from that.
You know, Jim, I think people who have watched you coach wonder if you can keep that up every game over the course of an 82-game season, just the intensity.
The energy part, I always talk about competitive people. As the leader of the group, you know, your competitiveness has to be at a high level all the time. I have tried to sit down a little bit more, maybe the last 3 weeks, and just maybe watch the game instead of maybe react to the game.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on Radio.com? Download the app or head to Radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or Radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
Thanks for streaming The Score. The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
John Paxson with us. I was a little surprised how frank you were in the press conference, and then again right there saying, you know, we're not there now. You did have the ability to offer a max slot. This is probably the best summer in terms of free agents that'll be moving since 2010. Why aren't you there right now in terms of the ability to attract a marquee maximum free agent?
Well, because our young players aren't to the point where I think the great player wants to come and play. Our goal, and I've said this many times, our goal is to develop. We believe Markkanen has a high ceiling. We believe Wendell Carter has a high ceiling. We believe a draft pick that we get in this draft is going to be a player with a high ceiling. We're in a different position than some of these other teams.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Brian Urlacher.
You know, Brian, going back a couple weeks, the Bears playoff game.
You know, at first, I mean, I was like everyone else. The kicker blew it. That's not the case. You know, immediately I started thinking about how great the season was. You know, I think you have to reflect a little bit on the positive things that came out of the season. You know, it's tough when you lose a game that way to do that. But, you know, no one put us in that game. No one had us win the division. Just all the things they accomplished last year, I think you have to be proud of where they got to. First-year head coach, obviously we wanted to win that game. It could have been a lot better, and it should have been, but it wasn't.
I got to tell you, I think the kicker did help lose that game, though.
Without the tip, it wouldn't. You just don't know, but the ball was tipped, and that's just the way it goes sometimes, I guess. It's frustrating.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Stone.com. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
You can't eat like that.
Why not?
You can't.
Why not?
Because you're going to keel over.
Keel over anyway.
Yeah, but you're going to keel over before you want to. Are you going to get the gout or something?
From apple fritters?
I don't know. How do you get the gout? I don't know anything about
that's
gout.
That's usually protein and purines.
I don't know what the hell either. What are purines? I know you got to eat like citrus once you get the gout, something like that, right? Or those kidney stones.
I'm not going to get it from apple fritters because I couldn't decide between the apple fritter. I rescued another. I had to adopt Mariana.
They're so lonely.
It needed a home, and I adopted an apple fritter. And then as I'm walking back, because Jason wanted some dessert. Because it's weird. Now he's just constantly eating, and now after I got to eat before hockey and after hockey, and he wanted dessert. So then I saw a box of Mariano's apple fritter bites, which are different.
What are we talking about? Silver dollar size?
About chicken nugget size.
Chicken nugget
like big,
size.
Big chicken nugget okay. size. Right. And a box of those, I figured I'd throw those in too. So I got those, and so that was pretty much dinner.
Yeah, me and Rick and Jay went after the Art of Pizza yesterday, where I decided to have two of these stuffed crust
two
slices.
Two stuffed crust slices is a meal for six
people. I don't know how I did it. But it leads me to believe, you know, that accomplishment leads me to believe that I really could eat three Jack's Frozen
All right,
pizzas.
Are we doing this or not?
I'll do it after we get back from spring training.
You're going to eat three?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Jack's Pizzas.
Yeah. Now I'm in. I'm willing to have. What do you mean you're in? You want to race? Or pink slips?
I mean, I'll eat three Jack's Pizzas.
You can eat three Jack's Pizzas at one sitting?
I would love to try at least.
I think I could do it. Yeah, I think I could do it. Did we lose the kitchen though? Because we're doing the remodel of the whole.
No, Shane will make it work.
Floors.
Shane will make this work.
Shane will make it work. Yeah. I have no doubt of that.
And video stream it.
And video stream the thing. I think I can eat three Jack's Pizzas. What's a fair time frame?
Could this be as like on
over
level
the course of, the show.
Of as bad of an idea
that's happening.
As Herb and Rock doing the milk chugging contest?
I
know,
that's
being
dangerous.
Here and watching
that.
I know it is, but it's also Herb and Rock.
I was here and watching that happen. It was terrifying. I feared for the life of both men.
I was interning at the time.
Were you really?
Yeah, I was like, so this is what it's like?
And then Shane did the Pizza Puff Challenge.
Yeah, I'm unclear. He had like a 10-minute time frame on that, right?
And they were hot.
I mean, he had to smoke those things.
There's a 30-minute time frame. He also ate dog food for
well,
shtick.
That's just...
I ate cat food.
I mean, I do a lot for shtick.
Oh, it's $100? Wow,
and
well, that's totally worth it.
$100 and shtick.
I did it because I didn't know it was cat food. I just thought it was something they set out in his dorm room or something. So what's this?
One of those nights.
This tastes horrible.
One of those nights.
I didn't put it together that he had the illegally kept cat in his dorm room.
That's pretty good.
And, yeah. So you're going to make me feel better.
I'm going to try. Yeah, here's a couple of really great spring training stories. One that you and I are going to have to follow up on every single day that we are in and around Cubs camp. You remember how we mentioned that the workout sheet had the Picota projections on
yes.
it for the Cubs?
Yeah,
right?
And they're doing it every day. They're doing like a motivational slogan at the bottom corner.
They are. It's a new one every day. It's not. I thought it was going to be the Picota projections every day, just as the chip on their collected shoulder. But no, it's changing. So we're going to have to document what it is that's on this bottom left. Today, or rather yesterday, saw Gordon Whitmire take a photo of this. The bottom left was, if you're not first, you're last. From Ricky Bobby and Talladega Nights. So that is your...
Okay.
Clearly, there's a theme here.
All right.
It's make you laugh or put the chip on the shoulder, but it's about being first. That is the top one there.
Or not being last.
Well, definitely don't be last. Oh, don't get caught. Ryan Fagan, who covers the Nationals, has this out. And get yourself to the computers as soon as you're done. If you're unhappy with your job, if you're looking for a career change, the Nationals... are hosting bullpen cart driver auditions on the 26th.
How do you audition?
The
Is
Washington
it stunt
Nationals.
Driving?
The Washington Nationals are searching for a qualified professional to serve as a driver of the WGL Energy bullpen cart for the 2019 season. Aspiring drivers will have a chance to showcase their chauffeur skills during an audition Tuesday, February 26th at Nationals Park. Candidates interested in driving both Nationals and visiting pitchers from the bullpen to the pitcher's mound during Nationals home games have been invited to Nationals Park to drive a test vehicle through an obstacle course in Center Field Plaza. In addition, each applicant will be required to answer questions from a panel of Nationals entertainment staff members. Bullpen cart driver hopefuls have been selected from a pool of applicants who previously submitted their cover letter and resume. Shoot, participation in the tryout is by invitation only and not open to the public, but I bet if you showed up and made a big scene... you probably get yourself in.
That's cool.
They're holding cart driver auditions. You get to ferry Sean Doolittle back and forth from bullpen to the mound. That's a treat.
Brandon Kinsler, he's always fun to hang out with.
It'd be great when the Cubs make their trip over there.
Yeah, the Cubs have a bunch of those are some of the
goofy
most fun
bastards in the bullpen. Those are always great.
Yeah, Kinsler's back. We got to find him when we get down there.
Kinsler?
Yeah.
Oh, he's a blast. We also might have to find
Cole Hamels' little cousin. That's...
I'm a major leaguer.
I pitch in the big leagues.
Fine. Here's another one.
Yes?
Lindsay Adler covers the Yankees for The Athletic, I believe. She wrote this morning that, you know, players remake their fitness regime and they do the whole, you know, best shape of their life, all that kind of stuff. You ever talked to Tommy Canley when he was here with the White Sox?
No.
Man child. Like, just, he's a 7-year-old in a grown man's body who throws 98 miles per hour. He's the guy who had like the WWE stuff in his locker all the time. Okay. He had a folding chair from a wrestling event that he attended that he used as the chair at his locker, just had to fold it up and ready to go. But not, I know the face you're making, but not like that.
Okay.
Like a
self-aware.
Somehow, God, no. I would never say self-aware for Tommy Canley. But he was somehow just a real lovable guy.
Mm-hmm.
Just a real likable dude. Lindsay Adler writes that this offseason, Tommy Canley kicked his Red Bull habit. He says he was drinking up to 5 Red Bulls a day for the last 5 or 6 years, plus 2 coffees for the game. Now it's 1 coffee a day, and that's it. The man was pounding 5 or 6 Red Bulls a day for 6 years, plus 2 coffees. Do you have any idea how much caffeine that is?
Yeah, that's like heart rate issue bad.
So Red Bulls have about 111 milligrams of caffeine in the 12-ounce can. I mean, those are the ones readily available in the clubhouse, you know, refrigerators. But I've seen players with the big guys, you know, the double-size can, and just pound those
the bomber.
Things. And you figure if you're driving to and from the ballpark, that's the one you're putting in the cup holder of your giant truck if you're Tommy Canley.
My cousin's that way with Monster Energy. It's like his whole car is filled with empty Monster Energy
your
cans.
Back teeth start to shiver.
Neil, River North, you're on the score. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
What's up, Neil?
So I got a funny story before I get to the question for Dan. When I was an 8-year-old, there was a box of doggy donuts sitting in my grandmother's house, and the only thing I read was donut.
Donuts.
So, yeah, I've had some doggy donuts. Anyway, Dan, I got to ask you, your obsession for apple fritters, are you the crunchy type of apple fritter guy or the soft apple fritter guy?
I like both. I think the texture is critical. I think a slightly crispy outside that yields to a soft inside is ideal.
Very good. Nicely done. Mm. Enjoy.
Oh, I do. No worries.
Imagine suffering through an apple fritter. This doesn't happen.
There's no such thing as a bad one. There's only some that are better than others.
I mean, I guess you could get one that's really burnt, and even then...
Right, I mean, I guess.
Still a bunch of sugar.
It's still an apple fritter.
Burnt apple, that's all good.
Right. The top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the Big Ten West Division and Holiday Bowl champions at Ryan Field this fall when they host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets on sale now at NUSports.com. This is the final leg of the Danny Parkins journey. He hosted the afternoon show yesterday.
He's a changed man.
He hosted overnights with Les Grobstein. He is ready to host the afternoon show again. So we are going to check in with him as he begins Act 3. Transition next on The Score.
The Score's NHL trade deadline coverage is sponsored by Amy Kite of Keller Williams Realty Infinity. Visit Amy will sell... Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to the Lawrence Holmes Show, nights 6 to 10.
Patrick Manley joining me here on The Score. You're his teammate. What would you say to him? How do you console him and try? Because he's going to be your teammate, at least contractually. He's slated to be your teammate next year. How do you get him right?
That's a tough one. I'll be harsh here because I just believe as a professional, you're paid to do your job. I played with a whole lot of teammates over 16 years, and they were guys that I loved, but they just weren't good enough. And if they weren't good enough as a teammate, you have to be fair to all the rest of your teammates. You want somebody better in there. You want somebody that can do their job. And especially when Cody walked in there, they knew what he got because he was the big kicker signing that was coming in to solve all the problems. And he did.
Lawrence Holmes, nights 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score, Chicago Sports Radio 670. Bernstein and McKnight, middays, 9 a.m. to 1.
Ian Happ of the Chicago Cubs. When we heard Theo for, what was it, 71 minutes after the season, so a raw, unvarnished opportunity where he answered every single question and was emotional about the way the season ended, it was clear that his thoughts were informed strongly by the exit interviews that he conducted with players, you among them. Mm-hmm. How would you describe your exit interview this year?
We were all so frustrated with the way everything ended last year that it gave us a chance to really be honest with each other, for everybody to kind of be honest about the way things ended and really look to how we could improve.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays, 9 a.m. to 1, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station. Thanks for You're streaming The Score. The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
John Paxson with us.
You referenced at your news conference today, candidly, Jim Boylan's rough start. And you said when you're in there with him every day, you see things that are going well. Share with us what those things are that make you feel positive about your head coach.
Well, when I watch practice every day, I see organization, I see detail, I see guys being held to a standard, especially for a young group of players that they need to be held to. Now, right now, it's not really carrying over into games, although offensively over the last two or three weeks, we've become a better basketball team. So we got a long way to go. We know that. No one has ever, myself, anyone in the organization, we haven't ever stood up here and said this was going to be easy or quick.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Don't miss Show Transition three times a day on The Score. First between Mully and Haw and the Bernstein and McKnight Show at 9 a.m.
Why not allow your product to be consumed by people who want to consume your product?
As many as possible.
This is like old Bill Wurtzian logic.
It's very, that's what comes to mind if you're a Chicago sports fan, is that it sounds like, yeah, the Bill Wurtzian.